by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, welcome back to another episode, another morning with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah. Wherever you are in the world, whatever time it is, whatever you're doing, please stay tuned to this beautiful program. And whilst you're having your breakfast, or if it's dinner time in your area, whatever it is, please enjoy that as well at the same time. But keep your eye, keep your focus towards the screen of Madani Channel as well, inshallah. Because today we are going to start our this particular program with the recitation of the glorious Quran. So whatever you're doing, just for a moment, just pause and listen to the tilawat of the Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
ومن آياته منامكم بالليل والنهار وابتغاؤكم من فضله
اور اس کی نشانیوں میں سے ہے رات اور دن میں تمہارا سونا اور اس کا فضل تلاش کرنا
ان فی ذلک لآیات لقوم یسمعون
بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں سننے والوں کے لیے
ومن آیاته یریکم البرق خوفا وطمعا وینزل من السماء ماء فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ
اور اس کی نشانیوں سے ہے کہ تمہیں بجلی دکھاتا ہے ڈراتی اور امید دلاتی اور آسمان سے پانی اتارتا ہے تو اس سے زمین کو زندہ کرتا ہے اس کے مرے پیچھے بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں عقل والوں کے لیے
وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ
اور اس کی نشانیوں سے ہے کہ اس کے حکم سے آسمان اور زمین قائم ہیں پھر جب تمہیں زمین سے ایک ندا فرمائے گا جب ہی تم نکل پڑو گے
وَلَهُ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ
اور اسی کے ہیں جو کوئی آسمانوں اور زمین میں ہیں سب اس کے زیر حکم ہیں
وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ
اور وہی ہے کہ اول بناتا ہے پھر اسے دوبارہ بنائے گا اور یہ تمہاری سمجھ میں اس پر زیادہ آسان ہونا چاہیے
وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
اور اسی کے لیے ہے سب سے برتر شان آسمانوں اور زمین میں اور وہی عزت و حکمت والا ہے
ضَرَبَ لَكُم مَثَلًا مِّنْ انفسکم،
تمہارے لیے ایک کہاوت بیان فرماتا ہے خود تمہارے اپنے حال سے،
هل لکم مما ملکت ایمانکم من شرکاء فیما رزقناکم فانتم فیہ سواء تخافونہم کخیفتکم انفسکم،
کیا تمہارے لیے تمہارے ہاتھ کے مال غلاموں میں سے کچھ شریک ہیں؟ اس میں جو ہم نے تمہیں روزی دی تو تم سب اس میں برابر ہو، تم ان سے ڈرو جیسے آپس میں ایک دوسرے سے ڈرتے ہو۔
كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعقلون،
ہم ایسی مفصل نشانیاں بیان فرماتے ہیں عقل والوں کے لیے۔
بل اتبع الذين ظلموا بغير علم،
بلکہ ظالم اپنی خواہشوں کے پیچھے ہو لیے بے جانے۔
فمن يهدي من اضل الله وما لهم من ناصرين،
تو اسے کون ہدایت کرے جسے خدا نے گمراہ کیا اور ان کا کوئی مددگار نہیں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم۔ My dear viewers of Rise and Shine, you were just listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, whenever we get this opportunity to listen to the verses of the Quran Pak, which is final message of Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanallah, it enlightens our hearts, it makes us our soul at peace, subhanallah. My dear brothers, remember, make this habit that whenever you get chance to recite the Quran Pak or listen to the verses of the Quran Pak, make this routine to read it with translation as well. And not just read the translation, but also ponder upon the meaning, try to contemplate and try to understand the message of the Quran Pak. And that is the real purpose that we need to realize, that for the real purpose of the Quran Pak being revealed to us. So we understand it and we practice it, we apply it in our daily life. Subhanallah, Dawat Islami has translated the Urdu translation of Quran Pak, which is called Kanzul Iman. This has been translated in the English language as well now, and it's available on the website of Dawat Islami. It's also available as an application on the App Store and the iPhone Store as well. And please download these applications and try to develop this habit that every day read some of the verses with translation, with commentary, so that we can improve our connection with the glorious Quran. Subhanallah. My dear brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, alhamdulillah, there are so many excellences and virtues of reciting Durood-e Pak, salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, there are people who have this beautiful habit of reciting Durood-e Pak in the mornings, and they also recite it in the evenings. Subhanallah. So we should try to develop this beautiful habit as well. How long does it take? How many times do you need to read? Well, there's not a fixed number. There's not a fixed time. You could recite Durood-e Pak whenever you wish, whenever your heart gives your side. You could read Durood-e Pak at that time, and you could read there's not a fixed number. You could read how many Durood-e Pak you want to. For example, there are people who recite 3 times Durood-e Pak in the morning and 3 times in the evening. There are some people who recite Durood-e Pak 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening. And there are people. There are those fortunate people, or should I say the lovers of Durood-e Pak. They recite Durood-e Pak, alhamdulillah, 313 times every day. And that's a beautiful practice. Now that shows that you have connection, you have this affection with Durood-e Pak. So whatever you're doing, just for a moment, in order to gain blessings and virtues, let us all recite Durood-e Pak. So wherever you are, why don't you read Durood-e Sharif as well? But remember, read it with love and focus. Don't just recite it with the tongue. Read it with love, with affection, with full focus. Inshallah, you will feel its sweetness, inshallah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. سبحان الله. Alhamdulillah, we've listened to the tilawat of the Quran Pak, we've recited Durood Pak as well. Subhanallah, what a great start to the program. Alhamdulillah, today we have a very important topic that we are going to talk about, and that is, why do we have hardships? Why do we have sufferings? And this is something a lot of people go through. They go through this question, why is there so much suffering around the world? Why do we have to have pain? Why do we have to have difficulties? Why is it always me? Why is it always me, no one else? Why do I have to go through this? You know, people have different phases in their life where they feel, they ask these questions. And some people go to the extent that they say, Allah Azza wa Jal, the Creator, is the most loving, the most kind. And He is the most Rahim. He is the one who showers His mercy upon people. Then why does He allow suffering? Why does He allow pain to afflict people? What is the concept of trials? What is the concept of hardships and sufferings that we face in the dunya? What is it? Why do we have to go through all this? These are the questions that come to your mind. And inshallah, in this program, we'll try to answer some of these questions. We'll try to analyze and understand the background to hardships and sufferings. But before we start that topic, why don't we enlighten our hearts by listening to a kalam? Let's see which kalam has been prepared for us today, inshallah. Let's listen to a kalam, enjoy this, then inshallah we'll move to our topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Na koi aap jaisa tha, na koi aap jaisa hai. Koi Yusuf se poochhe Mustafa ka husn kaisa hai. Ae jalwa-e jaanana, ae jalwa-e jaanana, aaka tu sham-e risalat hai. سر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے جو ساقی کوثر کے چہرے سے نقاب اٹھے ہر دل بن میں خانہ ہر آنکھ ہو پیمانہ پایا چھوٹے نہ اب سنگے در جانا نا چھوٹے نا الہی اب یا رب سنگے در جانا نا آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا جلوائے جانا نا اے جلوائے جانا نا پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا کھاتے ہیں تیرے در کا پیتے ہیں تیرے در کا کھاتے دانا ہے تیرا دانا آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانا تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری ہر پھول میں بو تیری ہر شمع میں ذو تیری بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ بلبل ہے تیرا بلبل ہاں بلبل پروانہ ہے پروانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جلوائے جانا نا اے جلوائے جانا نا وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ وہ کہتے نہ کہتے کچھ وہ کرتے نہ کرتے کچھ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ اے کاش وہ سن لیتے مجھ سے میرا افسانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ تو ماہ نبوت ہے اے جلوہ جانانا سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری سرکار کے جلووں سے روشن ہے دل نوری تا حشر رہے روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ حشر رہے روشن ہاں روشن نوری کا یہ کاشانہ آقا تو شمع رسالت ہے عالم تیرا پروانہ جلوائے جانانا اے جلوائے جانانا
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, we were just hearing a beautiful kalam. سبحان اللہ, may Allah ta'ala allow us in our lifetime to visit the blessed resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not once, not twice, not thrice, but many times in our life. And may we continue to visit the holy lands of Makkah and Medina many times, and may our last moments of our life be in under the green dome, under the shade of the green dome of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And may Allah ta'ala allow us to be buried in Jannatul Baqi. Subhanallah. These are some of the wishes that a Muslim should have in his heart. My dear brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, those who have just tuned in today, alhamdulillah, we have a very important topic that we are going to talk about. And that is, we're going to answer some of the questions that people ask when they face hardships, when they face sufferings, difficulties, trials, and they have so many questions that come to their mind. One of them is that, why is it always me? Why do all the problems come to me? No one else. Why do I have to face all this? You know, some people have that phase in their life, and where they think that everyone else is happy, they're enjoying, they're in the comfort zone, but all the problems have just diverted towards him. And the reality is, it's not like this. That's what we need to understand. Let's just try to analyze this. Who has problems? Who will have difficulties and trials? And a simple formula for us is that a person, the more he is close to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he will be tested. That is a key principle that we need to realize and understand. The more a person is closer in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he will be tested, the more he will have difficulties, the more he will have challenges that he will have to face. And this is not just a principle that we need to remember, but when you look at the lives of the honorable, the great, the chosen men of Allah Azza wa Jal, the prophets of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the mighty prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, if you look at their lives, you will come to realization, you will understand that these great and noble individuals, great personalities, they went through difficult time as well. They went through challenges. Why do they have challenges? Why do we have to go through this path? That's something else that we will cover later on. But what I want to make you aware at the moment is that you are not alone. Let's just get this misconception out from the mind. You are not alone who is facing difficulties and trials. Let me give you an example. And this example that I'm going to give you, you can say this great personality is a symbol of patience, is an icon of patience. Whenever you remember his name, those who have studied his life, they will understand that this person, this great individual, this great personality went through so much difficulties, so many tests, but throughout the difficult time, he remained patient, he remained grateful in the court of Allah, and alhamdulillah, he overcame these challenges, and the good fortunes, good times, you know, appeared as well. Subhanallah. This great personality that I'm going to talk about today is Prophet Ayub alayhi salam. Subhanallah. First of all, let's try to understand a bit of background to this. First of all, this great personality we are talking about is a prophet of Allah. And prophet of Allah, alayhi salam, is someone who is higher than the rest of creation. Those who are selected, those who are chosen, those who are noble people, they have been given direct tasks by Allah Azza wa Jal to convey the message, to invite people towards the truth. They are very sacred and noble people. They are so pious. They are superior from the rest of the creation. So that's the first thing we need to keep in mind. Prophet Ayyub al-Islam is from the prophets of Allah. Second thing, let's look at his lineage. Prophet Ayyub al-Islam, he is descendant from the Prophet Ishaq al-Islam. So from the father's side, he belongs to the family of Ishaq al-Islam. And from his mother's side, subhanallah, his lineage goes up to Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam. So just, subhanallah, you talk about connections. Allahu Akbar. This great personality is a prophet of Allah. Subhanallah, that itself, you know, is enough to understand the greatness and the shan of this great personality. Then from the father's side, Prophet Ishaq al-Islam, from the mother's side, Prophet Lut al-Islam. And then the person that he's married with, the wife of Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam, is the granddaughter of Prophet Yusuf al-Islam. SubhanAllah, just imagine, you know, in which household this great individual belongs to, this great personality of Prophet Ayyub al-Islam belongs to. So a noble and great and dignified, you know, household. And Prophet Ayyub al-Islam, if you look at the life of Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam, you will find that Allah Azza wa Jal blessed Ayyub al-Islam with so many excellences, with range of bounties and favors. This includes the physical beauty, an abundance of wealth. He was rich and he had so many children, and he had uncountable number of cattle. He had so many animals. He had so many fields. He had so many gardens. He had, you could say, everything, you know, what someone looks for. You know, Allah Ta'ala showered upon him with so many favors and blessings. And he had all these great ni'mats, the great bounties of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. This is something that what people look for. People look for the beauty. People look for abundance of wealth. People look for children. And they want, at that time, having, you know, like a huge number of cattle was a big thing. And having fields, you know, that belonged to you, and then having gardens, orchards. You know, this was a great time. Subhanallah. And however, then a time came when Allah Azza wa Jal put Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam into a trial, into a test. Allahu Akbar. And what happens? These virtues and these great bounties and favors of Allah Ta'ala, one by one, they were affected. What happened? At first, his home collapsed. Just imagine, you know, instantly, like, in our day and age, you know, earthquake, you know, erupts, and you have your whole house is just falling apart. Yeah. So his home, his blessed house, was collapsed, and all of his sons were trapped underneath. They all passed away. One, the property, the loss of property. Second, all of his sons, all of his children passed away. You know, not one son, not two, so many children. All of them passed away and they died underneath this house. And then later, all of the animals that included hundreds of camels and thousands of goats. And not just this, all of the fields and gardens and the possessions that Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam had were also ruined. Can you just imagine, try to understand what was going on? What is happening? Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam was blessed with so many favors and bounties. And one by one, he is losing them. His house collapses. All of his children pass away. All the cattle, all the camels, all the goats, they pass away. All the fields that he has, they are ruined. The gardens he had, they were ruined. And this was not a small thing. Allahu Akbar. It is written in books that in the end, Prophet Ayyub al-Islam had nothing left in his possession. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. However, Prophet Ayyub al-Islam is, you can say, the mountain of patience. Subhanallah. Now he endured great patience and gratefulness even at the time of difficulty. He wasn't someone that he panicked. He lost his sense. No, he's a prophet of Allah. And he remained patient. He remained steadfast. And he knew this is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. And whenever he, al-Islam, was informed by the ruins, by the destruction of his possessions, whenever he found out that this particular thing, my house has been collapsed, all my children have passed away, my cattle have been destroyed, my fields and gardens have been ruined one by one, when he was made aware. Each time, subhanAllah, Prophet Ayyub al-Islam remained strong and patient, and such words left his honorable, beautiful lips. What is mine? Now, whenever someone came to and said, your house has been collapsed, all the your children have passed away, Prophet Ayyub al-Islam replied to these people and said, what is mine? What is mine? The one who is the Rabb has taken all. The one who is Rabb of all has taken them. Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. For the duration that Allah Azza wa Jal allowed me to be with these, he left these in my possession. And he Azza wa Jal has taken these back as he wished, when he wished. This is not a small thing. And Allahu Akbar, so, you know, Ayyub al-Islam says, I am always satisfied in whatever pleases him. Allahu Akbar. A saying in Punjabi words that come to my mind, Je sona mere dukh vich razi, me sukhnu chulle paawan. Now, if my Allah, if my Rabb is happy in my difficulties, in my pains, then I don't want happiness. I don't want, you know, leisure. I don't want luxury. I want my Rabb to become happy. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is something amazing, something very great, and a lesson for all of us, especially those who have a habit of complaining on small issues and problems that we face in daily life. My dear brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, please try to understand that Prophet Ayyub al-Islam, at one stage, he had so many bounties, he had so many favors and ni'mats of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then one by one, he lost them. And each time when he was made aware of the destructions, he, al-Islam, remained patient. He said, what is mine? What is mine? The Rabb of all has taken it. Allahu Akbar. These are very beautiful words. And something that we need to realize, you know, if we have a loss as well, we go through difficult time, we need to remember these words. We should be happy and be content with the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. And it wasn't just this. It wasn't just losing all the possessions. Allahu Akbar. This test of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam continued. So after this, he alayhi salam fell sick. And big size blisters appeared on his blessed body. And during this state, when he had these blisters all around his body, what happened? People left him. And one by one, people moved away from him. They left him. And there was only one person who was loyal, and that is his wife. Allahu Akbar, this honorable wife, whose name is Rahmat, the daughter of Ifraim, and she is the granddaughter of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. She used to serve Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. And he, Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, you know, he went through this difficult time of pain and hardship for many years. But it wasn't just losing all the possessions. he was going through the health issues, the difficult time that he was having, the blisters, the pain that he was facing. And it wasn't for a few days. It wasn't for a few weeks. It wasn't for a few years, for so many years. It lasted for many years. Dear brothers, we become ill as well. You know, just for a few days, we become ill and we are out of control and we start panicking. But Prophet Ayub al-Islam remained, you know, ill and had blisters for so many years. Allahu Akbar. And throughout this period, Prophet Ayub al-Islam remained strong. He remained patient. He endured this difficulty with gratefulness. And, you know, he, alayhi salam, is a person, is a great personality of Allah who didn't complain in the court of Allah. Allahu Akbar. My dear brothers, this is a great message for all of us as well. When we face difficulties, then always remember the pains and difficulties that Prophet Ayub al-Islam went. He is a prophet of Allah. He is close to Allah. And if he al-Islam went through these difficulties, then where do we stand? Why can't we have problems? Why can't we have difficulties? And our difficulties and problems are nothing compared to the hardships and the trials of the prophets of Allah. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Just before I continue, I just want to clarify a misconception that a lot of people have in this day and age. Whenever they talk about this great incident, this great account of Prophet Ayub al-Islam, some people say that Prophet Ayub al-Islam, ma'azallah, may Allah forbid, some people say that Prophet Ayub al-Islam was afflicted by a disease which white patches or white spots on the skin. And some people say that there's a certain disease that Prophet Ayub al-Islam had, which included the white spots on his skin. And that's not true. This is one of the lethal disease. That's not true. And some unauthenticated books have also recorded wrong stories of Prophet Ayub al-Islam having afflicted by leprosy. That's wrong as well. And with regards to this, there's one principle that we all need to keep in mind. Number one, Prophet Ayub al-Islam or any other prophet has never been afflicted by the disease of leprosy. So please try to remember this. And if anyone mentions this in front of you, then clarify them that not Prophet Ayub al-Islam, but also any other prophet, none of the prophets, alayhim salam, have been afflicted by the disease of leprosy. And also, a key rule that we need to keep in mind, that all the Anbiya Ikram, all the prophets of Allah, alayhim salatu wasalam, they are protected. They stay protected from all such diseases that are publicly detested, that people run away from. And one reason behind this, one wisdom behind this is that if you look at the primary duty of the Anbiya Ikram, alayhim salatu wasalam, that is to preach to people. And these Anbiya Ikram have been tasked by Allah Azza wa Jal to preach and bring people towards the true path. And for this reason, if they were afflicted by such diseases that people run away from, then how would they be able to complete their tasks? So we need to remember and understand that this can never happen. The Prophet Ayub al-Islam was not afflicted by any disease that had white spots on his screen, on his skin. Prophet Ayub al-Islam did not have leprosy. In fact, no other prophets have had any such disease that people run away from. That's something we need to remember. They do have tests, they do have trials, which I did mention at the beginning. So what happens next? Prophet Ayub al-Islam went through so much difficult time, emotional and physical hardships. Then a time came, you can say, when the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal came, then these words left the tongue of Prophet Ayub al-Islam, which has been mentioned in the glorious Quran. If you open Suratul Anbiya, verse number 83, you will find this part of the verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين Distress has afflicted me and you are the most merciful of all those who do mercy Allahu Akbar Allahu Akbar Allahu Akbar when the difficulties and the hardships went through to next level through a very difficult time Prophet Ayyub al-Islam turned to Allah Azza wa Jal and asked Allah for assistance. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam remained steadfast during the divine trials and he was successful in his test. All these things that were happening to him, they were the test. They were trials from Allah Azza wa Jal. Why do we have trials? That's something we will talk about shortly inshallah. But let's try to complete this incident. Allahu Akbar. So when this plea from Ayyub al-Islam was made in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our Rabb, the most gracious, the most merciful, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Prophet Ayyub al-Islam, O Ayyub al-Islam, stamp your foot on the ground. When he al-Islam struck his foot on the ground, immediately a spring of water flew from there. Spring of water came out from the ground. And it was commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal to Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam to have bath from this water. Allahu Akbar. When Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam did bath, he had a bath from this water. And subhanallah, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, he was cured. All the blisters, all the physical marks that he had on his blessed body, they were removed. And he was cured instantly. Subhanallah. And then Prophet Ayyub al-Islam was instructed to take 40 steps. And as soon as he completed, he al-Islam stamped his foot on the ground again. And then another spring of water bubbled up from the ground. And this water was very cold. It was sweet. It was exceptionally delicious. This was the water that Prophet Ayyub al-Islam drank. Allahu Akbar. Special water that came from the earth. And by the means of this water, the water that Prophet Ayyub al-Islam drank, he was cured from the inside as well. Remember, if someone has been ill through a long period, then it affects your lungs, it affects your body parts and various parts of the inside of the body. So when Prophet Ayyub al-Islam, he drank this water, subhanAllah, one, he was enlightened with the divine nur, the light. And then he al-Islam, he regained his health to excellent levels and high spirituality. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, the tests and trials of Prophet Ayyub al-Islam were over. And now the time came, subhanallah. You know, when someone is patient, Allahu Akbar, there's a beautiful saying, good things happen to those who are patient. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we see from the life of Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam, that when this test was over, so he was physically cured, spiritually boosted, subhanallah, and his blessed wife was given youth again, and they had more children as well. Allahu Akbar. After this, he al-Islam was also bestowed again with so many cattles and riches and provisions and resources. And he, alayhi salam, in fact, he was bestowed with a lot more wealth and possessions than before. Subhanallah. Good things happen to those who are patient. So I hope we've learned a very important lesson, that you are not alone in hardships. You are not alone who is suffering or going through a difficult time. Whoever is closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he is close in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more tests and trials will come. So that's something that we need to realize and make our mind that we can't run away from this. We can't run away from difficulties. And before we continue with our topic, let's take a pause and let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم
By the grace of Allah By the grace of Allah
Water is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We drink water every single day. And a human being cannot survive without water for very long. So it's essential. But if Allah ta'ala has blessed us with great quantities of water, we turn the tap, we can drink water whenever we want, day or night, afternoon, morning. We don't have no care in this regard, no tension in this regard, where the water is coming from. But you could say somewhat of an endless supply. That does not mean that we end up wasting the water, wasting that ni'mah of Allah. Fill the glass, have a couple of sips, and then throw the rest into the sink. That's not the case. That's not the way of a believer. That does not befit a believer. And cast your mind towards those people in the dunya who have to travel miles and miles to get clean water, access to water. They end up drinking water sometimes which is contaminated. Water which is not good for them. And we have the blessing. So we should value that blessing if you want it to remain. And then secondly, if we do end up wasting water and we develop a bad habit of doing this, remember on the Day of Judgment, we'll be asked about this. This is israf, this is wastage. And every blessing that Allah has given you, you will be asked about. You will surely be asked about all the blessings on the Day of Judgment. So if Allah has given us blessings, and He's given us plenty of blessings, countless blessings, water is a great blessing. Preserve that blessing. Look after that blessing. Drink it in adequate amounts. Use it properly. Don't waste it. And Allah Ta'ala will eternally bless you.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Subhanallah, that was the daily reminder for all of us. My dear brothers, today we are talking about the trials and the concept or the background to sufferings. Why do we have sufferings? Why do we have tests? Let's try to analyze this now. In the dunya, you have exams. You go to school, you go to college, you go to workplaces. You have various type of tests that you go through. And there are people above you who are superior, you know, in the ranks, and they test you. And one reason that you are tested is you are tested for your knowledge, your skills, you know, to show that how much expertise you have in a certain subject. That's one way, or the other option is that you have a test. If you pass this, then you go to next class. If you pass this, then you move up a level. If you pass that as well, then you go another level. You complete GCSEs, you complete A levels, you complete a degree, you do your master's degree, you do a PhD. You have a full process of the tests that you have to pass to move up a level. But then you have some tests that their purpose is not to make you fail or to test your knowledge, but is to make other people aware about your excellence. Subhanallah. Is to make other people aware how great and how noble your character is. That is one of the key reasons why people are tested as well. Subhanallah. For example, you know, we were talking about Prophet Ayyub al-Islam. And it's not just one prophet of Allah. If you look at the lives of prophets of Allah, so you will find so many incidents in the lives of the prophets of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in particular, Prophet Nuh al-Islam, Prophet Sulaiman al-Islam, Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam, Prophet Adam al-Islam, and all the prophets, and also in particular, the last and final messenger of Allah, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you study his life and seerah, then you'll find there were so many difficult times, there were so trials and tests, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained steadfast in those difficult times as well. So if these great noble people went through tests, was it to check them that if they if they qualify to move another level, what was it for? Yeah, these are chosen people of Allah. These are the noble. They are innocent individuals. They are great personalities. They don't need to be tested. Why do they have to go through these difficult times? And it is mentioned, ulama have written that one of the reasons why the anbiya ikram go through these trials and tests is to make the public, the nations, to make them aware that these noble personalities are not normal people. These are people with such great character. They are great individuals who endure great patience and gratefulness. And they are not those who panic. They are not normal. They are great personalities. They are chosen men of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah, that's one of the reasons why we have tests. And if you look at the tests that we have, you know, a lot of us, when we look at tests from Allah, we normally say, okay, if someone is ill, okay, physically is struggling with his health, or mentally is unwell, someone is going through a financial crisis, or he's got a family problem, he's got issues with his workplace, and other trials that he has in the dunya during the travels, we normally talk about these aspects as tests. But in reality, the tests come into various categories. And I could, subhanAllah, some scholars have categorized these azmaish, these tests, into three categories. SubhanAllah, the first category of tests is the ahkam of sharia, the rulings of Islam. Okay? That's the first type of test. Second type of test is the favors and bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. The third type of test is the hardships, the sufferings that we go through. Let's try to analyze them just in brief. Number one, how are the rulings of Islam, the Sharia, how is that a test for a person? Well, let's try to understand this. As Muslims, we are commanded to offer 5 times salah every day. Now, we need to pray 5 times a day, not 4 times, not 3 times, 5 times a day. That's something that we as Muslims need to read, we need to perform every single day of our life. Not one day, not one week, not one month, every single day of our life. From the moment salah becomes farz upon you until your last moments, you know, we need to offer our salah. This is a test from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need our worship. Allah Azza wa Jal, the most high, the most great, he doesn't need our worship. It is us who need Allah Ta'ala. We need to create this bond with our Rabb. We need to make our Rabb happy. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. We need to realize this. This is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. That I've given this command to the Muslims. Do they act upon this command? Then Allah Azza wa Jal has given us the command to fast for 30 days, for the whole month of Ramadan, once in a year. Again, we are told to not eat or drink during the day. We have to abide the shara'it of fasting during the month of Ramadan. Again, this is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. And those who, you could say, qualify, those who meet the criteria and the requirements, for them, they have to give zakat once in a year. Those who fulfill the requirements, they are to perform hajj once in a lifetime. These are the ahkam. These are the teachings of Islam. And then, as a Muslim, we are ordered to honor and respect your parents. Don't even say uff. Don't even look at them with anger. Show kindness. Show gentleness to your parents. Then be nice and show love to your neighbors, to your relatives, to your Muslim beings, Muslim fellows. You know, we are told to, maintain and act upon the huququllah and huququl ibad, the rights of Allah and the rights of people. These are the tests of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us these tests, so we must act upon them. Those who practice these, those who follow the rulings of Sharia. And I'll give you a few more examples as well. In Islam, we are strictly instructed to stay away from alcohol. We are told to stay away from gambling. We are told to stay away from lying. We have to stay away from cheating. So there are so many things that we have. There are do's and don'ts. And as Muslims, we need to act upon them. And these are the tests of Allah Ta'ala. The more a person is successful, inshallah, he will reach highs in the akhirah, inshallah, azza wa jal. And the second category of the trials and tests is ni'mat, is favors of Allah Ta'ala. Everyone has been bestowed with so many favors, so many ni'mats of Allah azza wa jal. They are countless. Yes, subhanallah, We wake up in the morning, every single morning we wake up, we have something to eat. There's food there for us. Is this not a ni'mat? Every morning we actually wake up. This itself is a ni'mat of Allah Azza wa Jal. When we look around, we can see the greenery, we can see our homes, we can see our family members, we can talk to them. You know, everything that we have is a gift and a favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, you know, we need to make sure we utilize these gifts, these possessions. Could be wealth, it could be beauty, it could be clothes, could be intellect. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we need to be first thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Second, we must use these gifts and the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal in those actions that Allah Ta'ala loves the most. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this tongue. This tongue is here. We have been blessed with a tongue so that we praise Allah Azza wa Jal. We say the hamd. We say the naat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we recite the glorious Quran. We recite Durood-e-Pak. We do neki ki dawat. We invite people towards the truth with this tongue. Subhanallah. So using the tongue in the right way, this is a test for us. The test is that to avoid using the wrong use of the tongue and other names of Allah azza wa jal. Eyes, Allah Ta'ala has given us eyes. Now, if someone studies how the eyes function, you'll be amazed. You know, you won't be able to comprehend how many particles are involved and how complex structure there is in just the eyesight. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. My dear brother, these are the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when person is given favors, these are the test of Allah Ta'ala. And then the third type of test is suffering, difficulties, problems that we face in the dunya. Yeah, and maybe there are, if you look at from one side, there maybe there are problems that we face due to our own actions, maybe our own faults due to these reasons why we get into difficult times. We need to analyze these things. How did we end up getting to that situation? Maybe it's our anger problem. Maybe because we have jealousy for one another. Maybe, you know, we don't have a generous heart. What is it? There could be many reasons why. It could be because we are foolish. We didn't use our intellect properly. We went in a scenario. At the same time, them things could be a test from Allah Azza wa Jal as well. Therefore, my dear brothers, always remember, good things happen to those who are patient, who are kind, who remain steadfast. Subhanallah. And what more can we say? We just heard a beautiful account from the life of Sayyidina Ayyub al-Islam. At one occasion, mashallah, subhanallah, you know, he was blessed with so many bounties and favors of Allah Azza wa Jal in the form of house, in the form of children, in the form of cattle, goats, fields, orchards. And then one by one, they were taken away up to a time when there was nothing left in his possession. And then it didn't stop there. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it didn't stop there. Then he physically became ill and he had blisters on his body. He went through pain and difficulty for many years. And throughout this whole period, Prophet Ayyub al-Islam didn't complain. He remained patient. He remained strong. He was grateful to Allah Ta'ala. You know, whenever people reminded him of these such things, he always replied that nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah Azza wa Jal has taken these, then it is His choice. My dear brothers, we need to realize that in the dunya, if we have trials, if it's family problems, whatever it is, these are tests from Allah Ta'ala. And you are being tested. We need to remain strong and follow the teachings of Shariat. One thing that I will say to you, in regards to those people who break relations, you know, it could be other people's fault. It could be whatever scenario. But if you are someone who has hated for your relative or your family member, then I've got a message for you. And what that message is, I want to share that with you straight after this short clip that I want you to watch, the daily hadith. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Now regarding the honorable companions, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, do not speak ill of my companions. Because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to the whole of Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them. Now what's the explanation of this hadith? Is that if a companion gave a small amount of barley in charity, whilst a ghouth, qutb, or any ordinary Muslim gave a mountain's worth of gold, the latter were not near the level of acceptance and closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true regarding fasting, salah, and all other acts of worship. When salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 50,000 offered salah elsewhere, what words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and spent time in his company? What can be said of the amazing acts of worship? Now the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's companions is really, really high. This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not even in the slightest. These are specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved. Now imagine this, just as an example. When a merciful father does not let his son stay in the company of bad people, then how could our merciful Lord, Azza wa Jal, like for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in such company? The companion's superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lived in the era of divine revelation. If anyone from our lives for 1,000 years tries to spend his entire time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from disobedience, such that we become the greatest worshipper of our era, even then, dear viewers of Madani Channel, even then, all of this worship will not match a single moment spent in the companionship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn here is that whenever we speak about the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always with respect. Never use disrespectful terms. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that was the daily hadith that we just had a chance to watch and listen to. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, trust in Allah is one of the answers to our problems, to our difficulties. When we are facing hardship, and even in those moments, we should leave our trust in the court of Allah. We should do tawakkul, because it is our Rabb, it is Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the one who can remove our difficulty, who is the one who will get us out of this problem. And therefore, my dear brothers, we need to remember, always have trust in Allah. And because our Rabb is aware of our problems, we need to realize this. That you're going through pain, you're going through difficulty, whatever you're going through in your mind or your physical torture that you're going through, whatever it is, our Rabb, our Allah Azza wa Jal is fully aware. There's nothing hidden from Allah. Subhanallah. Therefore, my dear brothers, always keep your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who will get you out of these difficulties. Therefore, remain patient, remain strong and steadfast. Those people who have a habit of, complaining, something small happens, you can't even call it a thing, very, very minute thing, and we start complaining. Yeah. Let me give you a few examples. You're having some food, and in the food that your family's cooked for you, the salt is not according to your taste, or it's not cooked according to your flavors. But then you start complaining. You're that type of person. You want everyone to know that the food wasn't cooked properly. Oh, this is not nice. Oh, I'm not gonna eat this. Yeah. And if your clothes are not ironed by your wife, for example, or someone from your family, then you start complaining, oh, I'm not going to wear this. You throw the clothes away. There are some people have this, you know, this type of character, and it's not nice. A person who is complainer, who is known as a complainer in a family, he won't have respect. People won't look up to you. People won't get inspired by you. People will want to stay away from you. People next, and sometimes you might have the real complaint, but people will ignore you. Because they know you, you always look for the negative things. You don't have any positivity inside you. You always want to find faults in other people. You don't see the faults in yourself. And if that is the case, then that's something for you to reflect upon yourself. Those people, because we're going through, we're talking about hardships and difficulties. And there's one challenge that we all, you know, do face in different parts of our life. And that is family relations. Sometimes there are people in your family, it could be your brothers, your sisters, your aunties, your grandparents. It could be someone who's close to you in a relation or someone who's far. We don't talk to them. Something's happened. Due to that reason, we don't talk to them. We don't phone them. We don't reach out to them. Not even on Eid. Not even on happy occasions. Not even difficult occasions. When someone passes away, even them occasions, we ignore. And there's a word people use that, you know, we won't even go. If it's a, you know, in my home language, they use the word maranjian, something like this. Yeah, you know, a death time. Or, you know, someone who's given a birth time and death time, whatever happens, happy occasions, difficult patches, we've got nothing to do with you. And some people have that mindset and they actually proceed with this, you know, and character. That's wrong. This is not the Islamic way of how you approach difficulties. That person is wrong. Okay, he might be wrong. He might be at fault. But that doesn't mean you stop your connections. You're still a family member. You're still a brother. You still have father and son. No, you need to realize these connections are very valuable. They're important. I understand it's difficult sometimes. It's not easy to sit down with them, to talk to them, to make them understand. It is hard. I admit, you know, in life, you go through those times that you don't know what to do. In those scenarios, the things which are not under your control, they're not under your control. The things you can't change, you can't change. Yeah, just leave it as that. Yeah, we just need to learn how to live our lives in our own way without interfering with other people's lives, without, you know, affecting their style and approach. If you know there's someone in your family member, if you do certain act, it'll make him angry. Why do that act? We need to mature ourselves. We need to realize that as Muslims, we cannot break relations. We need to make up. We need to reconcile. And if there's anyone who's watching this program, I'm really recommending you. In fact, please, I'm requesting you, please reach out to those family members, those relatives, those Muslims who you have cut relations with, because this is harmful for your own akhirah. If you remain in this day, what if you pass away? Then, well, what's the point then? You know, what if that person passes away? What if your relative who passes away in this day, you don't talk to that person? And then, you know, you're going to attend their janazah, you're going to go to their grave, and then you're going to cry there. What's the point? Let's resolve these whilst we are living. Let's try to live our life in a nice, peaceful, and happy way, inshallah. So when you go through family tensions and difficulties, these are also tests from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, we need to remain patient. We need to look at our own character. Maybe it's because of our wrongdoings. Maybe it's because of due to our sins. We need to realize if we are in our household, there's people who don't offer their Fajr Salah, who don't perform their daily Salah, who don't recite Quran Pak, who are rude to their parents, who swear and who do all sort of wrong things, who don't look after their halal earnings. They don't see, you know, they don't take care of how they earn their wealth. If that is the case, then no, why won't the problems come to your house? How will the barakat come to enter your house? Try to understand this. Maybe it's because of our own fault. Whatever it is, if it's any type of difficulties and hardships that we are going through, one thing we need to realize, we are not alone. You're not the only one who's going through this pain. And a lot of you, in fact, all those who are watching this program, we need to realize maybe there are millions of people around the world who don't have this facility of TV in front of them, or the PC tablet, or the phone that you are using to watch this program. They don't have this facility. They can't even imagine buying a phone, buying a smartphone. They can't even imagine having clean water. And look, you're sitting at home at your comfort. You're eating whatever you wish. You're having so many favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are people out there, they are struggling. They are in pain. Forgive people. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for our hearts. May our hearts become soft for our Muslims, inshallah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, we have a short video clip of Kaniz Fatima. Let's quickly watch this video, inshallah. Let's try to see what Kaniz Fatima is teaching us today. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Oh wow, how beautiful it looks. Let me put this color over here. That's nice. Hold on, where's my other block? Yes, there it is.
Why did I put my things? I just put it here, but it's not even here. Oof. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Why are you reciting sallallahu ala Muhammad?
It is stated in a blessed hadith that if a person forgets something, he should recite salat and salam. Inshallah, he will remember that forgotten thing.
Have you lost something that you can't find?
Yes, I can't find my stationery pouch and my notebook. I can't remember where I put them.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yes, I remember now. I know where it is. Let me go and get it for you.
Oh, that's great. Jazakillahu khaira.
There you go, Brother Glamour Soul. There you go!
Kaniz Fatima, you don't give something by throwing it. These are bad manners. Whenever you want to give something to someone, give it to him in his hand, with your right hand.
Inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will be careful in future.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And that was Kaniz Fatima giving us some very valuable lessons. Subhanallah, we need to realize that in the dunya, when you face difficulties, when you face challenges, there's many hikmat, many reasons. As some of the points that we have covered today, one of them is that when Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to increase your rank, He wishes to give you His favors and mercy, then your actions that you performed, they were due to them, you didn't reach those heights. Now, by enduring patience and being grateful through difficult patches of your life, Allah Azza wa Jal will increase your ranks and you will reach such heights. Subhanallah, I'll give you an example of the honorable and the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Imam Ali Maqam, Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah, Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the leader of the youth of Jannah. And in the dunya, subhanallah, where he has so many beautiful titles, he is also the leader of those who are patient. He is the leader of the patience people, those who are sabir. And definitely, when we look at the life and the great tragedies that took place in Karbala, what were they? They were difficulties, they were challenges, there were such things that have not occurred before, and probably they won't occur again to such a level. And Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala remained fast on the principles of Islam, and it is his principles that flourished, that flowed, and the teachings of Islam are still intact and they have spread far and wide and they have reached us. But my dear brothers, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala has taught us a very important lesson that even in the difficult times, even when things are not on your side, then remember, if you are on truth, if you are honest, if you are not cheating anyone, you just need to remain steadfast and, you know, cross these trials, inshallah. Once you go on the other side, once you cross the bridge of trials, then you will reach success. You will have heights of happiness, inshallah azza wa jal. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to remain steadfast in our difficulties, in our hardships, in our tests. And when we make dua, we should do dua for ease in the dunya, but also at the difficult times regarding the akhirah as well. So let's conclude this program of 2 hours by making this dua. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, let's redo the Pak first, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, make these tests and trials easy for us. Ya Allah, give us success in these trials and tests. Ya Allah, make the difficult time of the time of death easy for us. May we remain successful in taking our iman with us at the time of death. Ya Allah, make the trials and tests of the grave easy for us. Ya Allah, make the accountability of the day of judgment easy for us. Ya Allah, with your mercy and bounty, with the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah, allow us to enter Jannah with our accountability. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always remain patient, remain strong, and keep asking in the court of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala resolve our problems and issues of our life. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. That's it for now. Look after yourself and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.